Oh, okay, I got some shit to talk immediately, and this is something that I wanted to bring up, and I saved it, and I'm glad that I did. And it's about Melania, and you know, did you see, you saw that thread about her Zed card, correct?
I did, but okay. You should spit it out, because Zed, I had to read the entire thing to know what a Zed card was. Or is, and so if you could give us, just like talk to us about Zed cards first.
Well, first, let me just say this before we get into that. Months ago, somebody on my Facebook page, and this is just a regular person, this is not any kind of expert or anything, but I believe it was a woman who worked with people who had been involved in human trafficking, women who were trafficked. And she was under the impression, she believes that Melania was one of these women. And she laid out her, you know, reason why. I lost my Facebook page since I couldn't even find it if I wanted to at this point, because that was my old Facebook page. But she really did believe that Melania was basically purchased by Donald Trump. So when she said that, it really got me thinking. And, you know, I just thought, what if that was the case? I mean, we've all seen that famous scowl at the inauguration when he turned and looked at her and she smiled and then he turned away. And then she made that face like she was going to vomit. So clearly she does not like Donald Trump. She's slapped his hand away several times. And there are rumors, and this is rumors, and I'm not basing this on anything that I know, but rumors that she wanted a divorce and that she had to sign some kind of contract, that if Trump were to become president, that she'd have to stay married to him. And I think it was in Fire and Fury, whoever, the guy whose name escapes me who wrote that, said that the night that he won, she started sobbing, and it wasn't tears of joy. And then cut to, again, I can't remember who said this, but it was somebody on Twitter saying that those nude pictures of Melania are not modeling pictures, that they look more like pictures that were taken of women to entice men to these those parties, you know, like the Jeffrey Epstein parties, where they would, it was like human trafficking. It was these women who were underage, and whether they were underage or not, they were basically there to have sex with these men. And it made sense, because like, who's ever seen modeling pictures like those nude pictures of Melania?
Right.
I mean, they didn't look professional. So anyway, just the other day, which I thought this was so interesting. So Quinn Cummings, who was, for those who remember the movie, The Goodbye Girl with Richard Dreyfuss and Marsha Mason, Quinn Cummings with the daughter, who I actually met her in Whole Foods once, and she was just lovely. But anyway, this is what she wrote. She said, I keep thinking about Melania's Zed card. If you aren't near the modeling business, a Zed card or a comp card is the modeling equivalent of a headshot. So it's basically it's like a full body shot, and then it's a headshot, and then there's stats on it. So she gives some examples of what a Zed card is. And then she said, which is why her Zed cards keep bugging me. We have never seen one. Models are constantly refreshing and updating their book. She, and just so you know, Quinn worked for a casting director, so she's had many experiences dealing with Zed cards. So she said that they're constantly, you know, updating their look. You're hired because of your looks. The visuals, which sell you, have to be their best, and your book, you and your booker are always trying to improve it. And she said, let's see. Also, no professional shoots of any kind. I got ahead of myself. Basically, she had said that the pictures of Melania that we saw of her modeling back in when she was very young, those black and white pictures, Quinn described those as, you know, your local podunk communist town photographer, because those weren't professional. So I don't know if you guys remember, but it's just those black and white pictures of a very, very young Melania with like a ponytail off to the side of her head. They weren't professional. And so then she says, she did talk about the nude picture, saying that they weren't professional. And she said, which brings me to my point, which I'm going to present very, very delicately. There's a decade she can't account for. There are nude pictures featuring implants, which besides being shoddy work, make her too big, meaning her breasts too big, for top level fashion modeling.
Right.
So I think, you know, I mean, I don't know the story behind Melania. I don't know if she was just a girl who wanted to be a model and she met Donald Trump. But it seems that she only started working. She got the GQ spread after Trump. And that was a weird spread in and of itself. But the whole idea here is that she may not be what she's been painted. You know, I mean, people don't like her and they slut shame her, which I've never done. And once that lady on my Facebook page suggested that Melania was basically purchased by Donald Trump, I've always thought that could be a possibility. I mean, I'm not pointing my finger. I don't know. I try to leave her alone. The time that I went crazy on her was when she wore that jacket. I don't care. Do you? But there was talk about that being a rebellious kind of action toward Donald to make him look like an asshole. Because I, you know, and I would believe it because she slapped his hand away. There's clearly no, I mean, there's pictures of them sitting at a dinner table where they both just look so awful and miserable. She's not happy. And so anyway, I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. You know, I don't know. But I kind of wonder, you know, is she somebody who was purchased? I mean, you know, what has happened after that? What kind of life she's led? I mean, I don't know. I have no idea if she's got a better life. I think she just hates him so much. It just comes off on her face. Like she hates him.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there is no, that can't be genuine love. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't, how do you love a man like that when you're a woman like that? Like, yeah. I don't see them coming together and like having this deep spiritual connection. No. Right? I don't see someone, I mean, you know, taking her looks aside, she's stunning. She's stunning. She's a little done up, but you know, not necessarily my style, but that's an exquisite looking woman, work done or not. Mm-hmm. He is a vile cretin, but he's rich and that's what she cares about. I can never take that relationship seriously based on just the whole, the way they put themselves on display for however many decades they've been together or whatever. But when she jumped on the birtherism wagon with him, like, I'm sorry, but I can't take these folks seriously. I don't really care how they came together, honestly.
Well, I agree with you in that I don't take them seriously, but just to throw something out there, I might have mentioned this before and I'll be very brief, but I once met a mobster. I was selling oil and I came across this older man who I went to his office and he started telling me these stories and there's pictures of mobsters and there's pictures of freaking Joe Pesci in his office. And but as he started talking to me, I started realizing, oh my God, this guy's in the mob, like the legitimate mob. And I talked to a girlfriend of mine and she said that she had a friend who basically married the mob. And she goes, once somebody from the outside becomes aware of the fact that they're, you know, they're talking to a mobster, that's it. They're in. They're just in. And so as far as her taking on the birther thing, I don't know if that was something it doesn't seem to me that she would just want to do this. I would guess she was ordered to do it. This was part of what he told her she had to do to back him up. I don't know. It's a guess. But that's why when I look at her, it's like, I don't have disdain for her. I have disdain for him. It's not that I take them seriously. I don't. But I don't know where she is in all of this. So I try to not attack her only because what if she was that young girl who was purchased and has basically not known how to get out of it and had to go along with all this shit, even though she didn't want to. I'm not defending her. I'm not. I'm just saying that I don't know if this is the case. There has been so many, you know, I mean, when Bill Cosby was first, you know, when we first learned that he raped women, there were so many people screaming in his defense. And absolutely, this is not true. It's just hearsay. And then come to find out it's 60 women are accusing him of this. And it was something that Hollywood knew all along. And it's like, oh, well, now we understand. But with Melania, I don't think we truly understand. And so, again, it's not a defense of her because I don't know. But I just find it fascinating to think along those lines because, you know, evidently Trump went to those parties and, you know, had sex with these women. And he's a disgusting fucking pig. And he, you know, he saw her. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, that he saw her and it's like, I'm going to buy her. Whether the buying came through getting her to marry him because he had money or he purchased her literally from another person, I don't know. So anyway, it's all disgusting and so awful. And, you know, I mean, and it's hard for me to place where I feel with Melania. You know, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, I don't have any respect for her in any way, shape or form. Just the fact that she's with him right there, you know, I just want to be done thinking about anybody with that name. Honestly, I can't, you know, all of us, we hang out with similar people. You and I talk about this constantly. This is our thing, you know, but we also talk about other things. We've become, I consider you one of my closest friends.
Yes.
And I, you know, I mean, I lean on you for shit. Sometimes I'll call and go, do you have a second? And you do the same to me. And that's important. What this has, you know, it's funny because when we were talking to Glenn earlier, he said, even though all of this is just such a complete disaster and it's taken us, you know, to this place where we're desperate for any glimmer of hope, because this family and these people, these complicit cronies of his and the Republican Party, they've made us desperate. Mm-hmm. But through this, we've developed these relationships that make us feel stronger. Mm-hmm. Right. But no matter who I'm talking to, and we're crying and we're commiserating and we're, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to vote. We're going to volunteer. We're going to do this. Everybody wants those Trump kids to go to jail.
Yeah.
Like, and ain't nobody, especially of our generation, we're a little bit older than them, but you know, I think we look at them and say, first of all, what would motivate a person to want to operate like they do?
Yeah.
What would other than money and power, are they all so messed up?
I think so.
Has he damaged them all so deeply that they're just falling in line? I mean, I used to think there's no way, you know, Ivanka's going to be the saving grace. She's the only one who can get through to him. And very quickly, that opinion was dispelled. You know, that, like, forget that. I mean, you know, and I think about this a lot. I watched her do that dumb, slow walk into a luncheon in Fresno when kids were being detained and locked up. And I saw, I don't know what she said to those people, but it was something stupid for their $1,500 a plate. You know, it was a room full of wealthy Republicans who just have no value. They do not value human life.
No.
What's most important to them is that they stay in power, that they stay rich, that they get their tax cuts. Kirshner nailed it in one of his, you know, many rants on our show. Not rants. I mean, that's not Dennis Miller rant. Glenn Kirshner made pointed. I took notes. I've got notes. You know, first of all, is it blackmail or loyalty with these Republicans? And let's put the Trump children in with their tax cuts. Mm-hmm. I think that was his number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
They want to hold on to their money. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in power at all costs. There are babies that are detained.
I know.
Babies being detained.
And children are being sexually abused and assaulted. And they just don't care. They don't care.
We need these people to be gone. And I don't mean gone like this is not a threat. I mean, gone from public view,
right?
Gone from public consumption. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to move on. The effort that I have put into, you know, getting decent Democrats elected, the door knocking, the phone call making, the party throwing it, you know, I want to put that into rebuilding. Like, they need to be gone so that we can rebuild.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I'm just so...
No, don't be sorry. Well, you know what? That brings me to Rob Reiner, because he kind of pissed me off last night.
I love him.
I love Rob Reiner, but he pissed me off because I think it was on Chris Matthews. He was saying that basically, well, we just need Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is the only one who's going to beat Trump, and then we need a woman. We need a woman on the ticket. And I was like, really? Really? frankly, it pissed me off what he said. I don't think he's a misogynist or anything like that, but what he said was sexist, and it was based, I think it came out of a patriarchal mindset that so many of us are under that we don't even realize it. There were things that I've said in the past that I realize now, wow, that was patriarchy, and I was promoting it. I think that suggesting we got to throw those women a bone and make one of them vice president, like, are you fucking kidding me? Now, you know, I put up a post last night and I didn't call him by name, but, you know, I said because I've seen other people say the same thing about Biden, like Biden's the only one who can win. And his point is that, you know, he is a recognition to the world. If we get him, if we can get him as president, then that's going to be back, you know, return to normalcy. And immediately our standing is going to be much more, you know, we're going to be more respected from other world leaders. I believe that would be true pretty much no matter which Democrat got in there. I mean, I think out of the viable ones, I think if Kamala Harris is the one that's going to take, you know, take it and get it if she wins, I think that world leaders would understand, okay, finally, America is back to, you know, some kind of normalcy. And as far, you know, I mean, I don't want it to be Joe Biden for a number of reasons, although obviously I will vote for whoever it is. I have a feeling his fire is going to be put out very quickly in the debates. I don't think he's going to be able to stand strong, or at least as strong as some other people think he will, because there's going to be so many younger, progressive attitudes. And I think he's just going to kind of come off as the old school version. I get that he was Obama's vice president and that he makes people feel safe. And he's also kind of one of these guys that people feel like they have something in common with, because he's just like, he can be the regular Joe and all of that. I don't dislike him at all. I just don't think that he's going to make it. But I resent when I hear these white men or anybody, because it's not just white men, saying that only a white man can beat Trump. Right now, we don't know who can beat Trump. We do not know. And it's not that Trump is so... it's not that Trump is so great and he's got all these voters. He had help from Russia. Look at the numbers with Hillary. She beat him in the popular vote. He won because he was up against a candidate who was, you know, dealing with decades of smears. She was dealing with the Russians who helped to divide our own party. So, you know, maybe you don't like Hillary Clinton, but Russians helped some of those Democrats to hate her. Mm-hmm. And see her as an enemy, which she is not. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. It's not that you don't have to fucking like her. You might not. You might think she's a hawk. You might not like her approach or you know, the whole thing about the war, her voting for the war as something, you know, Bernie didn't. Fine. But everybody voted except for Bernie. Everybody voted for that war because they were told a lie. They were led to believe they had weapons of mass destruction and they were sold a bill of goods that was bullshit. So their vote was based on that. Mm-hmm. They were encouraged to do it and they all united on that with the exception of Bernie. And so in this particular case, yeah, it's better. The idea of not going to war. I wish we didn't have to go to war. I wish we didn't. That was a terrible decision. But it was based on a lie. They were told a lie. So anyway, you know, I feel like everybody thought that she was going to win, including her, including Trump. And in the end, Russia tipped the scales. Yes, you know, she had other things working against her, but it was Russia that tipped the scales. So for Rob Reiner to come on and talk about, oh, we only can have a white man, and then throw that, you know, throw some woman a bone, I'm sorry, that doesn't fly with me. I think that was a very jaded way to look at it, and it pissed me off.
Yeah.
It just pissed me off.
I think, and this is not in his defense, but I think so many people are terrified that we are going to lose.
Yeah, I get it.
In 2020. And then it goes into that patriarchal mindset, which is, well, only a white man's going to get it done. So I'm just going to be a realist and put it out there. Yeah, we'll throw the bone to Kamala. And then in 2024, she can be the president. Yeah. And then she can do two terms and we'll fix America.
Right.
Well, I'm going to, like you've said, and like I've said a million times over, I'll vote for a flaming bag of feces if it's got a D by its name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we are ready for a woman president. We voted to elect a woman president in 2016, and that was taken from us. Mm-hmm. I would love to have. I think E-Dubs would be a great president. I think Kamala would
Did
be.
Did
you
a just phenomenal- say E-Dubs?
Yeah.
What's E-Dubs? I never even heard
that. Elizabeth Warren.
Oh my God! Where does Dubs come from?
W.
Oh, E-Dubs.
Icon. She's E-Dubs in my mind. We need a woman. Yeah. Let me tell you why we need a woman. Because women are talking about health care for all. Mm-hmm. Women are talking about universal child care. You wanna fix this country? Provide working parents with quality child care for their children so their children can grow and thrive, so that there's a standard. It's called universal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you make 50K. It doesn't matter if you make 150K. You will pay accordingly, or you won't pay at all. Mm-hmm. But all of your children will be getting the same type of care. Yeah. People, the children, the people providing the care will all go through the same educational process, so that there is a standard that is upheld, and people who are living in the lower income levels or the middle income levels, or, you know, why shouldn't the amount of money you make should not dictate the type of care your children
exactly
receive.
Or, you know, or the chair or the type of care any of us receive.
That's exactly 1,000%. A woman came up with that.
Yeah.
It's time. It is time.
And also, I just, you know, I look at Kamala Harris, and she recently was, I think she was interviewed and asked about equality or something. And her answer was that we need to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. So she's the first woman on the campaign trail who's even talking about that. And that is something that I am very interested in, because one of my fears is, I'm afraid that if we elect a woman and we still haven't ratified the ERA, that's going to be another argument the right is going to hold up and say, look, a woman is president, we don't need the ERA. Fully understanding that it's about discrimination and protection from discrimination. Mm-hmm. Yes, she can win. That doesn't mean that we're all safe from, you know, discrimination now. So, you know, I would love for that to happen before. But either way, I want the president to be talking about this and to be helping to educate the people, so that if and when she does get elected, that this will be something she takes on and then we'll talk to the American people about. Just like Obama, you know, said positive things about marriage equality, because it's not going to be up to her to get the ERA ratified. It's going to be up to whatever the last state is, which, by the way, I think right now there's definitely a push in Arizona. And there's actually going to be a walk. I have to find Jill Weinbanks, because Jill Weinbanks is tweeting about this. But it's Arizona, and then there's another, where is it? Oh, God, New Mexico. I think New Mexico is another state. No, Arkansas. Arkansas.
Arizona.
Well, it's Arizona, and then I think it's Arkansas. I think both of those are going to be voting on it. But with Jill Weinbanks, she was talking about, there is a march. It's a 38-mile march. I'm gonna find the date, but let's see here. If you can't make the march, and I'll give you the dates on it, you can sponsor people who are in the march. So if you go to if I can't find it here, but it's Jill Weinbanks. Just scroll down. She's got ERA. Here's the march on March 11th, and I think it starts in Phoenix. So it's a 38-mile march, and you can sponsor someone, and you can go to ERA Task Force AZ, at ERA Task Force AZ, and those people on that Twitter handle have all the information about how to do that. But getting back to Kamala, she's the only one so far, and that's right. One of the... I mean, I'm not going to put people in purity tests. And look, I want to vote for a woman, and I said I'm voting for a woman in the primary. And my main gist on that is that if a woman can stand equal footing to a male candidate, in my opinion, she's already more qualified than he is, because she's overcome more hurdles than he has. She's had to overcome more than he has to get to that point. So therefore, she is more qualified than he is. If it comes down to it, like I was talking to my father about this and he was a little concerned and he was like, well, are you, you know, what if there's a man who is projected to do a lot better than the woman? I said, well, of course, I'm going to take everything into account. But I think that these polls have to be taken with a grain of salt. And I think that it's, you know, it's very easy right now. You know, people are going to answer these polls with a patriarchal mindset, even if they're well-meaning. Because they're afraid, oh, a woman can't win against Trump. Well, keep in mind, you know, again, Russia tipped the scales. Again, we're going to have to be dealing with Russia in the 2020 election. But to just go to that automatic default of only a white man can do it, I think you're mistaken. I think you're falling into that, yeah. You know, not you, but just anybody who believe that, is falling into that patriarchal trap because Hillary should have won. She got the votes. The only reason she didn't was because Russia targeted those last three states, Ohio, Wisconsin, and what is it, Pennsylvania?
Yep.
And they were targeted very heavily right before, and those were the three states that tipped the scale. So don't buy into that shit. Vote for the person who you think is going to win, but really consider it. Don't just go for the, oh, it's got to be a white man.
Right.
Listen to the candidates. We're going to have a very, it's going to be hard and difficult because I know there will be people who will be divisive. And I'm not naming names, but there's definitely going to be some divisive bullshit going on in the Democratic Party.
Who are you talking about?
1%, 1%. But you know what? We'll listen to all of them. And no matter who it is.
We're voting for him.
We're voting for that person.
Yep.
Whoever it is. I don't care who it is.
Whoever
blue,
it is.
No matter who. And,
yeah,
and I think we need to be critical. We need to hold the, like, I want Bernie to show his taxes. But I, you know, I'm doing my very, very best. It's very hard for me. I'm not going on the attack. I do feel defensive when it comes to Bernie. I don't trust him, but you know, I understand that between Trump and Bernie, I'm going for Bernie.
Oh
no
my God.
Doubt
yes.
about it. So
yes,
I don't know,
indeedy.
I'm just I don't know. It's kind of, it's going to be really brutal. I think we're going to deal with a lot of brutality. And also, Politico has been writing all these unfavorable stories so far about the female candidates. They started off with Elizabeth Warren that she's going to have a likability problem, just like Hillary. Then they start going after Klobuchar.
Kamala connects too much.
Too much. She's just too damn likable. And then Klobuchar, they went after her because she's just big, mean boss. So it's like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, the thing with Elizabeth Warren, they didn't even focus anything on her policy. Nothing. They only focused on what, oh, this is what this poll says and this is what that poll says. And the her whole proving her, you know, that she's got, you know, I keep wanting to say African-American, Native American blood in her was such a bad decision. And it's like, oh, who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? Why does anybody
make
a difference about that? I don't care.
Listen,
I don't care.
Listen, so many people have, in Americans, people who've been here for a long time, people particularly from the South, I found, you know, like my family comes from, my dad's side comes from Oklahoma. And my great-great-grandfather, who was from the Spanish Basque region, he was a cowboy, literally says cowboy on my great-grandfather's birth certificate.
Wow.
Under his father's occupation. He married a Native American woman who was from the Cherokee tribe in Oklahoma. And I had a great friend growing up, Irish girl, red hair. She says that there was some Cherokee blood on down the line in her family. And who am I to doubt her?
Yeah.
A lot of people who have been here in this country for a long time, you know, believe that they and could very well have Native American blood. So what? What does Trump have? Trump has poo-poo for blood, okay? Like, I don't want to hear it. That's bullshit. I'm done with that.
Yeah, and I don't give a shit. You know what? He was calling her Pocahontas forever, and she's like, okay, here, I'm shutting you up. And then everybody's
like, she should
like,
never have done that.
She shouldn't have done it, but let's get over it, because it's not like this big mistake that proves that she's not qualified. I don't care that she made that stupid gaffe. How many gaffes has Joe Biden made? How many times has he stuck his foot in his mouth and everybody's screaming, he's the only one who can win? But, you know, Elizabeth Warren does something and it has nothing to do with policy. It has nothing to do with the way she's going to govern. I just don't think that we should, as Democrats, focus on this and keep holding her up to this ridiculous standard. She's, mm-hmm. you know, frankly, I think at this point, it looks as if Kamala has more of a chance to win than any of the other women on the ticket. I mean, they've got Biden and Bernie, although in some polls, Bernie is even below Kamala. Biden is always number one. But I think that, you know, Kamala's got the top chances, at least of the women at this point. That, you know, this is all going to change later. But I think she's got some, you know, strong potential there to actually make it through the primaries. But, you know, that said, I feel like all of them, you know, sometimes when I see Kamala talking, I wish that she would be a little tiny bit less comfortable. I think she gets a little too comfortable. I don't think it has anything to do with how she would govern. I just like when I look at Obama, he was always so very presidential, no matter what he did. I mean, even when he was on the Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, he was always very presidential and he held himself in that manner. And I think that occasionally Kamala gets a little comfortable, and I would like to see her, you know, I still want to see her laugh. I want to see the human side, but I want to make sure that, you know, because it's all optics. And I think that she's the strongest one, although I really kind of do like Klobuchar. And Klobuchar is a little, you know, described as a little more centrist, which the way I look at it is like, you know what, if she makes it, if she's the president, she doesn't write legislation, she votes on legislation. So mm-hmm. she's not going to throw out, you know, the legislation that Democrats are bringing to her. Obviously, you need bipartisan, but still, she's not going to throw it out. She's going to sign it. So mm-hmm. it's like, so what if she's a little more centrist? It's not like she's writing laws. And right. she's her everything that she's talked about, for the most part, I agree. I know I'm not going to agree with everything. I'm not going to. That's fine. So anyway, as far as Elizabeth Warren, I think all of them would do the three that I like the most are those three women. Are you know, Kamala Harris, Klobuchar, and E-dubs. Oh, my goodness.
Gotta have a little fun, E-dubs.
E-dubs. All right, well, I think we better start wrapping up, and just don't forget it's going to be 2 weeks. And on the 27th, we're going to interview Dina Grayson, and then it's just going to be weekly shows after that.
That's right, baby.
So, and don't forget, comment. We like the comments. Ziggy Blue.
We love our comments.
We love our Ziggy Blue. All right, everybody. We will see you on the 27th.
Love it.